This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey everybody, Jack and Cookie here for the Cubby House Podcast, and this is an in-between show. Sometimes we've got too much to fit into a regular show, so every other week we're going to release a special episode of the show featuring everything we couldn't fit in.
This particular week we went to the Leather Fetish Expo down at the Fitzroy Town Hall, and while I was gallivanting around using all the equipment and checking out all the toys and then getting up on stage and doing the show, Jack borrowed a recorder, thanks to Joy 94.9, and went around and got people's views and opinions of the expo.
Here for the Cubby House at the Fitzroy Town Hall, where there is the Fetish Expo going on. There is more leather here than a shoe shop and more buns here than a bakery. I am extremely excited and I'm going to work out a few things about this particular scene. There are people here from all different groups. We've got some men, we've got some ladies, gay people, straight people, somewhere in between. We've got some furries and some bears and what? We've got nuns. I've noticed that you've got a Got Fur t-shirt on. So what does that mean?
Got Fur, a furry community. It's a friends organisation in the States called Fur Happening, where custom fur suits are being made.
Now, is there a furry community in Melbourne?
Yeah, there is a furry community. It's actually, there's a large one in Australia alone. There's about 350 furs all up, and just in Melbourne alone is 120 altogether.
Say, you were looking so shiny today.
Thank you.
What do you call it?
It's a latex catsuit.
Wow! So tell me, what melts your butter?
Predominantly latex, mostly latex, yeah.
It looks very tight. Is it uncomfortable?
No, it's quite comfortable. It's quite quite comfortable, quite smooth. And despite what everyone might think, it's actually quite easy to get into.
It melts my butter, oh boy. Bit of fursuit play, bondage, that kind of thing, really. I'm pretty much into anything. Give it a try, see how we go. But there's not really many into the full fetish things. A lot of them are just purely going out, have a bit of fursuit fun out in the city, just local parks, whatever. So it just depends on what they feel more comfortable with.
So tell me how you got involved in furryism, if that is the correct term.
Furryism, yeah, you could say that. I don't know, I pretty much went through a friend's artwork, really, and then he put me onto a website where it had furry art on there, and throughout the next couple of years, I just started slowly rolling into fursuits and pretty much got into it through that way.
How much does a fursuit usually cost?
Depends, really. Different artists, different prices, really. You're looking between, say, an average between $1,000 to $3,000 for a fursuit, and that's a full fursuit. For a partial, which is a head, paws, feet, paws, tail, you're looking at about $1,000, maybe under. And yikes. Just for a head, it's about $500.
What is your preferred animal of choice?
Mine is a tiger, white tiger especially. You'll actually see him running around here. His name's Biako, he's a big white tiger, can't miss him.
So where does one actually wear the fursuit?
Well, when you got when you haven't got naughty parts like mine.
Do they come with naughty parts?
Some do, some don't. Some are just a basic suit and some you can. Some fursuit makers actually make naughty suits or play suits as they call them. But you can wear them anywhere, really, wherever you feel more comfortable. We've had, last year we had two functions where one was at Botanical Gardens and we got quite a nice crowd. Another one was at a Melbourne museum and that was actually quite a good turnout.
How do you feel that the furry community is perceived in the wider community and the gay community?
Let's just say the community doesn't seem to see us as a good type of people. They believe us to be similar to the gays, lesbians and all that. Which to me is, I think it's a bit rude because we're just normal people. We just like dressing up in an animal costume and running around and acting like a kid. That's pretty much it.
I don't mind a man in leather. I don't mind a big furry man in leather. I am Mr. Eagle Leather, and I was involved in a bondage scene earlier. They tied me up, basically, and blindfolded me. It was really exciting to feel so sensual in public with like 150 people looking. It's quite amazing, and it's very exciting. And I want to do it again.
In front of me is something that I have never, ever seen before. It is a nun with a goatee. Why are you a nun with a goatee?
I'm a gay male nun as part of the Order of Perpetual Indulgence, a worldwide order of gay male nuns. It was an order established in 1978, and the first order outside of the United States was in Sydney, Australia, in 1982. And our aims are the expiation of stigmatic guilt, that guilt that we directed ourselves or the guilt that is applied to us from the community. It's a serious order and it's a serious establishment worldwide, but we like to go out and promulgate universal joy and have fun at the same time.
If you join the Order of Perpetual Indulgence, does that mean that you've got to take a vow of silence, celibacy and poverty?
No, there's certainly no silence, just listen to me. Chastity, well, you know, I would hope not. And poverty, well, yes, I mean, that's a given.
Well, you've got that cane thing over there. When do you get to use that?
Well, turn around and I'll whip you with it now.
Oh, boy, ow!
At heart, I'm probably a submissive. I love to have things done to me. I love to give control to a master or a top.
CBT.
What's CBT?
Oh, getting my nuts slapped around.
Ah.
It's all about ball play.
The Vic Bears have their own stand. How does Vic Bears fit in here?
Well, Vic Bears members represent the diverse range of masculine gay lifestyles, including the leather subculture. There are lots of bears that are into leather, and lots of leather guys that fit into the bear subculture too, so there's lots of crossover.
Bear itself, isn't actually a fetish?
From within the broader gay community, some people think bear is a fetish, whereas from the straight community, bear is certainly a fetish. So I think it's just one of those things that it just depends upon where you're looking from. I think it's just one of those things that you'd be surprised how many people are into all sorts of different things. Just because people are part of the bear community, it doesn't mean that that's the only thing they're into. Lots of bears are into all sorts of kinks and fetishes. Some of them they're more public to talk about and some not. It's only when you come to fetish events like here today that you discover the most ordinary people that are into the most extraordinary things.
So what melts your butter?
I just love wearing latex, PVC, satin dresses, anything shiny and sexy, especially the heels as well.
Now, I'm looking at the stuff that you've got on sale here, and you've got coffins, you've got something that resembles some kind of confessional, only with locks on it. And it's got a very gothic feel.
Yeah, well, you call it a sub-box. If you have a slave, a submissive slave, the master will lock her or him in the box, and you've got access to the genitals, and you can restrict how much they can see out.
So you're saying that that's like a glory hole in the shape of a crucifix?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I was about 12 years old. I was tied under the school, my school tie, and one of the bullies pissed on me, and I had an erection. It was very exciting.
Coffin.
Yes.
When would you use the coffin?
You can actually sleep in that. Some people like the feeling of being enclosed and restricted with their movement, and other people just like the whole look of it.
It never pays to say never to anything. You just never know when the mood might strike and the chemistry will hit you, and next thing you know, away you go.
The bed. Yep, I'm not in the coffins, but the bed. Yep, and the bed's got all the tie-down points. With the bed, you got all your hidden compartments.
What would you keep in the hidden compartments?
Toys, whips. And any other paraphernalia you might like to have. Endless.
You could hide your handgun in that little compartment down there.
Yeah, if you were a bit paranoid, you could hide all sorts of weapons in there.
Oh, I'm noticing that there's some very, very large and long phallic objects behind your desk. What would Freud have to say about this?
I don't know what Freud would have to say, but let me put it another way. The bigger the better, and we've got the biggest that there possibly could be.
Now, how do you stop yourself from impaling yourself on something like that?
Well, you don't. That's the idea.
What melts your heart? Green latex, emerald green latex, and a nice pair of boots.
They've got a chrome finish. It's totally waterproof. You push this button on the end, and it's...
Oh, it tingles! Woo!
It's a bit like a fire hydrant gone wrong.
You know the cartoons with the little wolf with the jaw down, the tongue twirling up? Well, that's me right now.
I had a lot of fun making this particular segment, and I would like to thank everyone who got involved in helping me make it. The sound quality is a little bit rough, but we here at the Cubby House are still learning how to play with our toys.
And that we are, considering I had a lot of fun playing with some other toys yesterday, as well as doing the show, which there are photos of, which will be up on our website or Facebook. Just keep in touch for that one. Now, we also have another segment coming up, and it was a little discussion we had from our last show that we couldn't fit into it, and it was about bisexuality.
Can one actually go both ways?
What, are you arguing about the existence of true bisexuality?
Yes, because I believe on some level I am a technical bisexual. I've just never had the experience to prove it.
Technical bisexual, Cookie.
Yeah, it's technical because I haven't physically done anything
now
to prove it.
Now who's the geek? God.
Alrighty, let's show how much of a geek I am. If you've ever researched the Kinsey scale.
Yeah, but that's not technically. It's like saying, well, you think you're gay, but you're not because you haven't slept with someone. It's not something that it's a technically yes or a technically no. It's something that you either are or you're not.
Okay.
I've never slept with a woman and I know for 100% that I'm gay.
Right. This is where I kind of diversify in saying the practical situation and the theoretical situation. Practically, if I was 1 to 10, you know, straight or heterosexual being 1, all the way up to 10 being homosexual, I would be somewhere around the 9.5% practically.
Yeah, but that doesn't make you a bisexual.
But in my mind, I'm sitting somewhere around a 6 in my head, or even up to, you know, 7, 8, depending on what time of the day I'm actually doing. Because I work around a lot of tradesmen, I do tend to get into a lot of sexually related conversations about women. And it's always plagued my mind that one day I think I could do it. I just haven't had that day yet to prove one way or another. So in my head, there is a potential for there to be a level of bisexuality. But the practical version is it's just never gotten to that point yet.
So what's to become of the Cubby House if you do finally realize that you're heterosexual?
Oh, it will never get to the point of heterosexuality, but bisexuality is always possible. But
if women had chest hair and could grow beards and penises, then fine. Yeah, I'd totally be bisexual, but bow. I had this discussion one day with a guy who he just could not understand homosexuality. It's not that he was homophobic, he just didn't get it. And he said, well, what do you see when you look at a woman? And I said to him, when I look at a guy, I just want to shag him. When I look at a woman, I want to give them a makeover. I think that pretty much, well, from that, you can kind of assess that I'm gay.
Yes. The problem is me never having a fashion sense. I couldn't think of where the first...
You're wearing an industry shirt right now. Industry's quite a fashionable label.
Well, I didn't buy it. It was given to me and I'm like, I'll just throw it on. I've never had a proper fashion sense, so I wouldn't know the first place to really start. Yeah, as far as a girl goes, it's that kind of argument in my head between a bear and a chub. I like a bear because there is a build to it. It's not straight up and down. There is a layer of curvature in it. For me, a chub would be someone who's, you know, well and truly obese. Their stomach hangs over their belt to the point where it's sickening. There is somewhere in between that I don't mind. And that's the way I look at women. It's not always an up and down thing. You don't just have the head, the boobs, the hips and the feet. There is potential where I do like curvature. And there is, in my head, yeah, I'd like to see what it really feels like to play with a girl's boobs. Not just in a funny camp fashion sense, but to really, you know, work them over to the point where they're enjoying it in a sexual way. But again, I've never had that point where I've really wanted to try it. I've always thought, yeah, I'll go and pay for a prostitute and just to affirm one way or another, but somehow I couldn't justify spending a couple of $100 just to say yes I am or not.
Well, sexuality as we know it, like a lot of other things, is a social construct. It's not something that's based in stone. It's something that's quite fluid and malleable. I would argue that putting such faith and steadfastness, if that's the appropriate term, sometimes I just use words without properly knowing their meaning, about being on
either... We need to get you a spell checker or something.
About either being on gay camp, bi camp, or straight camp, and there's no deviation. Now, I think what Kinsley tried to prove was that it's a spectrum, and that just relying so heavily on these labels are pointless and arbitrary and don't represent the true diversity in human sexuality and act as an inhibitor. While it is considered an identity, first and foremost, it's based around what you do. And what you do does not always count as your identity.
All right, I'll throw that to another idea that probably brings back to something else. If I was to shave all my body hair off...
Yes.
Would that then remove my status as being a cub or a bear and just put me as simply a chub because I've a bit overweight, no hair?
Well, that would go back to that big, wide, conversation of what is a bear? Is it a body type or is it an attitude?
Because you can kind of, in a sense, also relate sexuality to it, you know, whether you do actively pursue relationships and sexual partners on a gay, bi, heterosexual status, or is it just simply something that does change with how you perceive yourself?
I think it's a case-by-case scenario. For example, one of my fuck buddies is straight, and he classifies himself as straight because he...
Can I have his number?
No. But he's very well endowed.
Damn.
Just had to rub that in.
I'm going to find his number regardless now.
He feels that he is heterosexual because he does not actively pursue a relationship with a guy. He doesn't fall in love with guys. He just wants to get off. We are like just masturbating for him, just a step up of it. So does that still make him heterosexual or does that make him bi? It's a case-by-case scenario.
Following that line of thought, I'd probably say if that's the case for me at this point in time, then I'm asexual because I'm not necessarily...
A sexual machine.
Yes. Wouldn't you like to know?
I think everybody else does.
Yes.
I don't believe for a second that you're asexual.
Well, that's the thing. At the moment, I'm not one to... wanting to fall in love. I don't, in my life and in my mind, I'm not at that point where I'm ready to fall in love.
But sex and relationships are two totally different things.
Well, that's right. And this is where...
It doesn't mean that you're asexual because you're incapable of love or because you're not ready for love.
But again, following on the line of thought of what you just brought up, I'd be asexual with gay tendencies for sex. In the same respect, your friend is straight with tendencies for gay sex as well.
You're a cub, okay? Let's just keep it at that label for now.
I mean, can we take it? Can we take the tops off?
Humph.
It's only because Ryan can't show sexual frustration yet you and I are at the moment in that kind of zone. Don't
Masturbation worry. For me is sexual frustration. If I'm not getting any and I'm jerking off, then I'm sexually frustrated.
How long do you think he'll be able to hold off both of us?
Anyway, so...
We've got mail.
Indeed we have. Thank you very much to all those who have emailed or have left a voice message all on their first show.
The positive feedback has been overwhelming.
It has. Thank you very much. And even thank you to those who have probably taken what we've said to slightly the wrong context, but we thank you very much for your feedback as well. One of the people who has given us a really good rap is Paul, who's all the way over in the UK, and he sent us a long email. Thank you very much for the long email. So we're just going to pull out a few parts of it, and he goes on to say, "So to say I was in the closet is a bit of an understatement. In fact, I was living in Narnia."
Narnia.
Narnia. That's a fair way in the closet, so... Anyway, step forward a couple of decades and I met the guy I now live with and am married to. And he goes on to say that gay guys and lesbians can legally marry in the UK, which we still are battling for in Australia. They've now been living together for 16 years and he just wants you to know, Jack, that you were probably still a dribbling infant when he met his husband.
That's just how it goes, I suppose. There's not very much I could do about that.
I know, you can blame your parents. About the wedding, though, they go on to mention that he hadn't come out to his family formally, but they were invited to the wedding, so they kind of cottoned on, I dare say, as well as a few of their straight friends who brought all the kids along. And you know, there was a good 12-15 kids that were between 8 and 18, and apparently when they got back to their high school or their primary school, whatever it is, they got a big kick about going to a real gay wedding. So, you know, you think about it, if kids these days are going to a gay wedding when they're in the high school years, think about what would happen to the kind of cultural changes that are going to apply to those kids when they're our age or even older. It's a nice revolution that he's, I believe, he's starting to become accepting for one. But you could also turn around and backslap it with religion, which we all have our own personal opinions of, I believe.
Well, in Canada, the approval rating for same-sex marriages was about 50-50 when they introduced the legislation. And in the time that it's taken between when they introduced it to now, it's gone to about 70-80% in favour. So there is that shift going on in society that have same-sex marriages.
I dare say I'd love to see it in Australia at some stage, but we'll just see how the polls flow, I suppose. Here's another one from Kyle, who's sent in a voice message.
Hey, you guys over there at the Cubby House, Cookie, Jack, and Ryan. I just heard the very first podcast, the first show, Oh Heck, number one. I thought it was really interesting, you know, there's a lot of very real discussion that goes on in there, and a lot of interesting, very personal subjects and experiences. So here's my story. I think I was in my sophomore year of high school, and I knew this girl from English and math class, and she was really cute. She was really cute, and she had this friend that was gorgeous as well, and she had $20 with her, and her friend had 10. And I was hanging out with my friend at lunchtime. He's like one of those scene or emo kids, scene or emo, whichever you prefer. We were just hanging out, and they came up to us, both of the girls, and she said, hey, we'll give you $20 if you make out with your friend. And they had a camera with them, and they were really looking forward to it. They were eager to see what would happen. So she took out her camera, and she's like, here's $20. I'm like, I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, make it 30 and I'll do it. So her friend gave me the other 10. I got $30 for it, and I was like, okay, let's do this. So I made out with the guy for like 5 seconds, and well, I have to say, I think it definitely proved that I'm not gay, because I really didn't enjoy it too much. It was, you know, it was something different. It wasn't what I was used to, and you know, I made $30 out of it. It was sort of uncomfortable. They were talking about it for like a week later, and apparently they thought it was really hot. I don't know. Girls are into that kind of shit. You know, I got free lunch out of it. Kind of funny, and me and my friend we're kind of cool with it. You know, we're both secure with our sexuality. We split the lunch. We went to Round Table and got a pizza with $30 and split it with some of our other friends. Like, dude, I had to get $30 for the pizza, and we, you know, we didn't tell them. It was kind of funny, but that's my little semi-gay experience, the gayest thing I have ever done. Yeah, I hope you guys like my story, and I'm enjoying the podcast. I think it's really interesting. I will be a frequent listener in the future. Keep making these things. I'll be a frequent listener. Have fun.
Kyle from Vancouver, Washington, a heterosexual 18-year-old who apparently all it takes for him to go gay is $30.
Well, he did say he didn't go gay. He said he'd try it, which I think good on him. If there's enough incentive, why not? At least it helps you appreciate yourself for your own sense of being, and it doesn't give any doubt if there ever was any, but it also gives you an understanding of what somebody else might be going through, and I think that's a lot of what homophobia is about, the fact that it's a fear-driven concept. So I think good on you, Kyle, for at least giving it a go, even if it did just pay for your pizza.
Well, might I say, Kyle, that you have got one hot voice.
I know. If I didn't know you were 18, I'd mistake you for at least 25. Says, thank you very much for that, Kyle. And here's another one.
Rusty, who's an expatriate from Houston, Texas, now living in Tasmania.
Hi, Jack and the Cubby House. This is Rusty, a Texan turned Tassie. As far as me coming out in the bear community, I had a hard time finding a niche in the Houston bear community because they're very much all couples. And if you only have a partner, then they ostracize you and don't want anything to do with you because they're scared you're going to steal that partner from them. Well, then until I went to my first bear run in Dallas, I actually started to fit into the bear community because the bear community there was much more inviting and welcoming. So it took me a while. I didn't really start to experience this until I was about 24. Yeah, that's about right. Well, good luck for the podcast. I love it. Talk to all the guys later. Bye.
Thank you, Rusty from Hobart, for that submission. He called in the clubby line. That's 9005-PLAY.
It was funny what he said about there were some areas that weren't all that accepting, yet when he actually moved somewhere, it was strange that he kind of cottoned onto it. So I find it quite funny as well, because at first, you know, I go to a minus 18, which is an underage youth event for gay and lesbian teens, which is like a no alcohol, no drugs kind of event.
Lots of soft drink. As much as you can drink.
Oh, yes, yes. And I went to that and I didn't feel like I completely fitted in because I was not one to go out on the scene or, you know, go clubbing or anything. So, to me, it was very hard to identify with that kind of situation, but I did make a good lot of friends out of it at the same time. And it was funny because later on, those same friends were in the theatre group and the radio that I kind of cottoned onto later on in my life. So, it's funny how some situations you don't fit into, but doesn't mean that, you know, a particular identity concept or certain people in that group don't change with you when you go to another situation.
Now, one thing that I noticed on my last trip to Hobart is that it seems as though everyone kind of mingles around in couples. So it seems as though Rusty has gone from Houston, Texas, where all the bears are operating in couples, to be ostracized because he's alone, yet to come to Hobart, where practically it's the same thing, only he feels that he's more included.
So, yeah, it's strange that similar situation, different location, and it's completely 180 of the whole situation. So, good on you, Rusty. Thank you very much for all those feedbacks so far. So, what would our next topic like to be, our feedback topic?
Well, we've discussed ourselves as how we came out, how we discovered that we were actual cubs. I'd be interested in hearing about how people, they discovered themselves as cubs, or what label, quote-unquote, did they discover, or what do they feel that they are? Do they think that they're a chub? Do they think that they're, you know, what?
And how they probably came to that.
Yeah, exactly. Or even if they haven't, or if they're sort of, you know, in limbo as far as label limbo.
Yeah, goes. Well, maybe ask us a question as to what we might think about your label dilemma if you see the need to relate yourself to a particular group to help you fit in.
Mm. Or is it all just arbitrary? We want to hear what you have to say at the cub line.
At the clubby line.
At the clubby line. That's 03-9005-PLAY.
Or if you are calling internationally, it is +61 3-9005-PLAY.
Or drop us a message at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au or add us on Facebook and send us a message there.
Cubby House was made in conjunction with Joy 94.9. For more podcasts, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.